Is it I, Lord? Jesus asked that. Jesus said, made a statement when they gathered together for the last Passover meal. And he asked them a question. And their response was, is it I, Lord? Do you know what you're capable of without God? I mean, do you know where you would find yourself without God? Do you really believe what you think? Do you think that you're a little better than you are? Jesus asked them a question, and he asked them, he said that, talking about the betrayal, and he said this to the apostles because these men were going to go out into the world after he left, and they were going to go out and teach the gospel, but there was a lot of things that were going to come their way. I want to ask the question, how well prepared do you think the apostles were for the spiritual and physical warfare that was coming to them? Well, as a man, they weren't prepared at all. But the Holy Spirit that was given on the day of Pentecost and the teachings that Jesus had given these men because He spent time with them in secret and in quiet and alone time, He taught them. That was to prepare them for what was to come. But all the things that he did, the teachings and all these things, it was to open their minds and to call to remembrance when certain things would happen. Okay? In Luke 24, 14 through 15, Jesus asked them a question as they ate the Passover, the last Passover meal. And in Acts 4, Mark 14, 17 through 20, it says, in the evening, talking about that account in Luke, he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. Hey, look, he was looking at the 12 of them. So that would be like me standing up here saying, assuredly I tell you, one of you today will betray the Lord Jesus. I'm looking right at you. You really believe you would? What do you think? And they began to be sorrowful and say to him one by one. See, each one of them considered this question. Each one of them considered this question. And they said, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered to them and said, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. And so he would say, it is assuredly one of you today sitting here that will betray God. These people took that question seriously. They wanted to know, Lord, is it me? Well, we only have a certain amount of time that we've allowed for worship. 1 hour. And we come around and we're here today. So I can't go over all the 12. Peter's probably the one you see the most of, outside of Paul, but Peter's the one that you see a lot of things about. So when Peter asked, Lord, is it I? What do you think he was thinking about? He couldn't have thought of anything after the cross. He could only think of the things that he had done before. What would you think about? If I was to say that to you, what would you think about all the things that you've done? All the praises that you've got from men for all the good deeds that you've done? What would you think? If you was to ask me and look at me and say, well, Calvin, is it me? Am I going to do it? You think this came to mind when Peter was thinking about, is it I? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, the man that was standing before him, said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter isn't the rock. Christ is the rock. We don't confess Peter, our sins. We confess Christ. Okay? So Peter's not the rock that he's talking about. It's the confession of who Christ is. He tells Peter, he said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against this church. And he says, I will give to you, Peter, the kings of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Now, Peter took this question seriously because he asked. It said they all began to be sorrowful, and they asked, Lord, is it me? And then Peter started thinking. He remembered this. He probably already remembered this too. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, he said, because it was talking about the crucifixion, he said, Lord, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And so if I told you, surely as you sit here and you tell me that you won't deny the Lord and that you won't do this today, I tell you that you will. Every one of you. Did Peter say, Lord, you know everything. I can't believe I'd bring myself to that, but you know everything. I'm going to trust you. What did he say? Peter said to him, said to the Lord, he said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the apostles. All the disciples. So those 12 that were sitting there, when they said, Lord, is it I? They might have remembered this statement too. They said, I will die with you. I will not leave you. Who stayed with him? They all left him. But see, this is no longer the Passover meal we eat, but our covenant meal, the communion. And we're told at that meal to examine ourselves. That Last Supper that we call it, you know what? They examined themselves that day too. Because he said, you're capable of betraying me, and one of you will. And when they come around that table, they examined themselves. They took that seriously. They said, Lord, is it me that's going to do this? Am I really capable of that? Am I really that kind of man that's going to betray you that way? And they started thinking back about all the things they'd done and all the things they'd been through and thought, surely it's not me. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You see, Peter had to feel pretty confident in the things he thought of when Jesus asked him that question before the cross. He probably felt pretty good about himself. He probably didn't really know the type of man he was or type of person he was. He probably thought about those things and he probably felt pretty good about himself. He said, you know, I'm okay. What about after the cross? You know, he come around this table after the cross. He had examined himself then, didn't he? Same way that he did before. You know what? I don't think he probably felt as good about himself when he saw what kind of man he was going to be. Or saw what kind of man he was. He did deny the Lord. He even played the hypocrite with the Jews. When he was sitting there with the Gentiles and he was eating that old pig. In walked the Jews. And he got up, went over to the Jews, kind of stood off from the Gentiles. You know, the Bible says that Paul, he saw it and he didn't want to hurt his feelings, so he didn't really say much. He just thought it was okay. That's not what Paul did. The Bible said, I withstood him to his face because he was wrong. Who was Paul? He killed Christians. He gave the approval when people threw clothes at his feet. He was happy that they had been killed because he was there. This wasn't one man elevating above another. These men understood where they were at the Lord. Because remember, there's a reason why Jesus told them when they were sitting there. Those 12 men had been together years. Didn't he teach them 3.5 years what in his ministry? These were family. We hang out together like that for 3.5 years. I'm going to get to know you. You're going to get to know me. You're going to feel close to me. I'm going to feel close to you. There's a reason why Jesus told him, it is one of the 12 that will betray me. They would have believed anything that the world outside would have betrayed them. But to be one of the 12, to be somebody sitting right here, that's a little different story. You see, Jesus showed Peter it was one of the 12 because, remember Jesus saying this in Matthew, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Do you think when Jesus told Peter this, that he understood that? Probably not. I mean, family was a big thing for the Jews. It should be for us, but it was really a big thing for the Jews. And to go against your father, go against your mother, that just you just didn't do those things. Shouldn't do them now, but you didn't do them then. But when Jesus said, one of the 12 is going to betray me, you think Peter understood this a little better now? That family will betray you to the Lord. Why? Because they're going to turn you in and say, he's a Christian, he's a worshiper, go kill him. Well, that doesn't really happen here. It happens in other parts of the world. But they'll betray you by trying to lure you into things that are wrong, trying to get you to give and do for them because they're family. And your heart, because it's family, goes out to them. A lot different than some stranger. These 12 were family. They had been together. They had formed a bond that was in the Lord. He also told Peter that the flesh was weak. You find that in Matthew 26:41. As he examined himself now, he understood this. You know, prior to that, didn't he tell them? He didn't even have the Holy Spirit at that time, and he said, I will die for you. I will not deny you. But then, when Jesus took him to the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was there and he was praying, and he knew that his captors were coming, and Jesus knew that it was time to fulfill what God expected him to do, to offer us salvation, to die for this world. It was a rough thing. I mean, come on, if somebody was coming to you and you know that this is all you had this afternoon, you couldn't run away, and they were coming to you and they were going to kill you in such a way. Be a little rough on you, don't you think? You may be ready to go, but I don't think you're ready to go that way. Here they were, sitting there, and Jesus asked for an hour. He says, watch and pray with me for 1 hour. And Peter said, I will never deny you. Of course I'll watch and pray with you. They were tired and they fell asleep. And you know, as Peter stood before that table and he examined himself, he understood when God said that the flesh was weak. You see, in his part, Peter really believed he would die before he would deny the Lord. But when Cornelius bowed before him in Acts 10:25-26, he knew humility because he knew what kind of man he was. He knew that, and I'm not just saying that it was just Peter, I'm talking about the kind of people we are, what we're capable of without the Lord. When Cornelius bowed at his feet, if he hadn't have understood the weakness of the flesh, do you not think that he might have thought that this was something he could have got used to? That when he walked into a room, people would bow at his feet. And that people would regard him as the head of the church. Oh wait, they do. No. Peter told him, he said, see that you don't do that. I'm a man just as you are. Because he understood the weakness of the flesh. He understood what God was showing him when he said, examine yourself when you come around this table. You see, when the Holy Spirit makes a call through the gospel, many think that they're okay and they walk away. And many Christians believe they are so good in their hearts that they can walk away. Some people come to the place where they don't feel like they need to come here. They don't need to come around the table. They don't need to come to church. That they're okay just sitting at home. Why? They're not examining themselves before the table. Peter did. Before that cross, when Jesus told him, when are you going to betray him? And Peter said, wait a minute, I said he was the Son of God. He said he was pleased with me. He gave me the keys to the kingdom. He told me I was going to deny him, but I won't deny him. I will die for him. And after the cross, when all these things started to happen, Peter realized what it meant to examine himself before this table. Is it I, Lord? You see, this is why God cannot work without a true humility. Because we'll never see the person that we truly are. If we don't examine ourselves around this table and we think that we're okay, what did you think about this morning when you were sitting around the table? You know, sometimes I find myself when I'm there and I start to meditate, and then I start thinking about the lesson. I start thinking, well, get myself prepared, and wait a minute. That's not the time to do that. This is about me. God wants us to see, when we come around that table, how He sees us. You know, because when He told Peter, He said, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. See, He saw past that cross. He saw something that Peter couldn't see. But it didn't stop there. You know why? Because He come to him later and He said, Peter, do you love me? I love you, Lord. He said, then feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. Of course you know that I love you. That wasn't his attitude before, was it? He didn't say when he told Peter, he says, you're going to deny me. He said, Lord, you know all things. He was taught this. And that's why we're here today, to teach one another. To learn from one another. And the only way that's possible, I don't know what you'll learn, what you won't learn, how far you'll come, how far you won't come, but I know one thing, you won't come anywhere unless this table is not only present here, but in your everyday life. You have to have this table before you. This is how God sees you next to His Son. You know how I know that? Because they sat with Him at that table that day, and He looked at them and said, one of you will betray me. That table is always before our life. We always have to consider, is it I, Lord? Paul said, take heed, you who stand, lest you fall. Without a true humility and an understanding of God's Word and where we are and what we're capable of, do you know that the Bible says, for a morsel of food, a man will transgress? That means that if you're hungry enough, or you see your wife hungry enough, or your child hungry enough, you will go out and steal. Not me. I won't take nothing from nobody. You know what? You ain't been hungry enough. Because God says you will. I've not been that hungry. I've never been that hungry that I felt like I had to steal to survive. God has always made a place, something to eat. And you know what? The unrighteous, the people that are not here, that don't come to listen to this message, the people that think that it's okay, that they're okay, that they don't need to be here, they don't know God. They don't understand. He gave them the food that they were eating. Why? He sustained their life to give them a chance to do what? Repent. To repent. You know what they repented of? Same thing we did. Only difference between us and them is Jesus. That's the only difference. There's no difference in our lifestyle. We struggle with the same things. Don't get me wrong in that. We struggle with the same things. The same temptations that tempt man, he said they're common to man. The same temptations that tempt a woman, it's common. There is no difference. The difference is that we have accepted Christ and we have entered into a covenant. And because of that, He forgives us. That covenant was offered to Israel first on the day of Pentecost. Hebrews tells us that He found fault with the first one because they couldn't keep the old covenant, and He said that He had come to a place where He was going to do away with it. He did away with it not by saying, oh, these promises here, I just ain't going to worry about them, scratch it out. Who were the promises really made to? They were made to Christ. He was the seed that was focused on Abraham. I know Isaac brought forth a physical nation, but the purpose of that nation was to bring forth the seed of Christ. So here He stood in your midst, their midst, our midst. And the Bible says that He pleads through one bringing the gospel message. He says He pleads through us, be reconciled to God. And how you do that is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that is a promise given by God. if Peter would have had the same attitude before the cross that he had after the cross, what do you think would have happened? Look, we can't go back to when before God gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We can't go back there. That time's been done away with. We're right here. What God is trying to show us, that if we listen to Him and we keep this table present in our minds, that it's always before us. Is it I, Lord? And that's the humility that we have before God. He can work with that. He took a man that killed Christians and He turned the world upside down with that man. Why? Because that man was willing to make a stand for God. Right or wrong, I'm going to jump. Catch me or don't catch me, I'm doing it for Your name's sake. Paul was dedicated to the Lord. Once he saw Jesus and he realized, I get this, right before the road to Damascus, he was on his way to kill Christians. He wasn't saved with that bright light, remember? Because he tells us in Acts 22:16, I think, he says, Ananias told him, "Arise, Paul, what are you waiting for? And wash away your sins, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." A saved man is not still in his sins. But when Paul was there, he was persecuting Christians. He's like, "Come on, boys, we can make a little bit further. I got Christians to kill." And that light came down. He said, "Who is it, Lord?" He said, "Saul, Saul." He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" See, his attitude was, "Who are you? You're not God. You're Jesus." You know what his attitude was? "What will you have me do, Lord?" He didn't have the Holy Spirit then either. You make the argument that Peter didn't say that because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't either. But when he saw Christ, he said, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" Now, in his defense, he did see the risen Christ. Big difference. Because when John saw the risen Christ, the glorified Christ, the Bible says he fell at his feet as if dead. The point I'm trying to make is that when God makes an offer through Scripture, through His Word, that "I will save you when you repent, confess my Son, and are baptized into His name," why would people reject that? Why would people feel like that they're okay and don't need that? When God has shown Himself to know you better than you know yourself. He certainly knows me better than I know myself. What am I capable of without the Lord? I don't want to know. I knew before. And then when you become a Christian, you tend to forget the man that you are. And then sometimes he rears his head. And you're like, "There he is. I always knew he was always there." This is why I need God. So what's your decision as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation?